Shalom Rabosai, today's daf is Erevin Daf Kuf. We are here at the Mishnah on Sadi Tes Amud Beis. And the Mishnah says, Ilan Shahya Mesach al Haaretz. A tree that was Mesach al Haaretz, Rashi says, HaMesach, if you look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah, Shenofo Notel Lamata Mikoltz Dadov. That its branches kind of bend over and go to the ground on all sides, meaning Saviv, all around. Meaning, if you can imagine a big, huge weeping willow tree, and the branches go bend pretty much all the way down to the ground. So the Gemara says, "Im ein nofo gova min ha'aretz shlosha tefachim." If the branches is all around the tree, gets to within three tefachim of the ground, so then metaltalin tachto. Then you can carry underneath it, because again, that's already we say lavud, and the branches form mechitzas around the area. And you can, it's like you're in a tent or whatever, and you can carry inside of it. Shrashav gavoim min ha'aretz gimel tefachim. If the roots are three tefachim off higher than the ground, meaning the roots grow, right? You have pretty thick roots, and they're three tefachim off the ground. So then lo yeshav aleihem, you shouldn't sit on them. That's a din that we've mentioned several times, really mostly in Masechta Shabbos, but a couple times in Erevin, that Chazal asered using a tree in any capacity on Shabbos, because you may come to break off a branch, so that would be the Malach of Kotzer. Right, we're going to quote that on today's daf. But that's the Isser here, that again, the tree, the roots are considered to be, right, if it's three tefachim off the ground, so it's no longer considered to be part of the ground, right, you can't say lavud, but now it's considered to be, part and parcel of the tree, it's above the ground, and any part of the tree that's off the ground, right, you're not allowed to use, so therefore you can't even sit on these roots. Amar Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua. Im metaltalin bo yeser mibeis hasayim. Rav Huna said that in a chanami you can carry underneath the tree. Again, the first din we said in the Mishnah, you're allowed to carry underneath, let's say, a big weeping willow tree, but only if it's less than base sasayim. I mean, that's obviously a very, very big tree. I don't even know if willow trees come that big, but less than a base sasayim. Right? And Rashi says over here that the chiddush is that afilu, if you look at the last line, afilu noto mitchila lakach, even if it was planted to live underneath. Right? And therefore, it's right, the havi mukaf ladira, even if it's considered to be mukaf ladira, even if it was planted for that purpose, you still can't carry underneath it. Didn't we say that that an area that's more than base asayim, that a carpet that's hukaf ladira, even if it's more base asayim, then it's mutter for you to what's it called? It's mutter for you to carry. So the Gemara says, asked that question. The Gemara says, "My taima, b'shem d'havi dira shetashmisha la'avir." Because, and again, we saw this by once or twice by, let's say, by shepherds' posts and guard huts, etc. It's considered to be a dira, but not for the purpose of itself. I mean, it's not really for the person living there, right? It's basically who's living under a tree? Someone who is watching the sheep, or someone who's guarding a field, or whatever. So the purpose of the tree, of the dira, is for the outside. It's tashmish of the avir. It's for the outside of the tree. And that, v'chol dirish, it's tashmish of the avir, and talzim b'lo yesim b'beis hasayim. So that we had a separate halacha, right, earlier in the Masechta, that you cannot carry more than b'beis hasayim if it's not, like, for living purposes. But ein hachanami, for whatever reason, you wanted to live under that tree, straight up, so that would, in fact, be mutter, even if it was bigger than base sasayim. Okay, the Mishnah said, shrashav gavoim min ha'aretz, right, if the roots are bigger than the tree, are bigger than three tefachim, then you can't sit on it. It's mar, it was set. Shrashav ilan habayin milamala mishlosha latoch shlosha. Let's say you have a root that's a little bit kind of jagged here. It goes above three tefachim, and then it goes down, again, underneath three tefachim. So what's the deal with that? Right, so Rabba Amar Mutter Dishtamish Bahim, Rav Sheshes Amar Asr Dishtamish Bahim. Right, the Machlokes between Rabba and Rav Sheshes, right, how you view a root that goes up and above three tefachim, i.e., that theoretically would be Asr, but then it goes down again beneath three tefachim, so how do you view that? So again, Rabba says it's Mutter to use, and Rav Sheshes says that it is Asr. Rabba Amar Mutter Dishtamish Bahim, Dichol Pachos Megimel Da'ara Arahui, because the Maisa, right, it's less than three tefachim. Anything less than the three tefachim, it started less than the three tefachim, right? It goes down underneath three tefachim, so that's lovely, that's connected. Rav Sheshes Zomer, Asher L'shtamish Bahem, why? And Dekevan Midekoach Iser Ka'asi Asurin. Right? Since it comes from a place of Iser, meaning, let's say, the second part of the branch, right? The branch goes up, obviously it starts on the ground, so that part that goes up to three tzvachim, that's for sure underneath three tzvachim. Then you have an area of the branch, of the root that goes above three tzvachim, and then it dips again back down. So the dip back down is coming from a place that is usur, from a place that's above three tzvachim. So Rav Shesha says that's usur for you to use that, since it came from the place that is usur. And the Gemara says similarly, the damuke, how do you pronounce that? Kamashunisa, like if it's like a mountain. If you look again, if you have a picture, so that's it's kind of like jagged almost, meaning it goes up and then you have some jagged spikes coming out of the root going downwards. Meaning there's one basic root, right, almost like a branch, and then you have two branches, going downwards. From that root, so deslakin leila asur, and everything that's above is certainly asur. Right? The nechatan latatay, anything below three tzvachim is mutter. Sharu, that's mutter. Letzdadim, but the stuff that comes out of the root, right? Meaning the stuff that's kind of like half and half, right? That's already plugged to the rav of Rav Sheshes. That's our machlokas. And the Gemara says two more cases are similar. V'chein anigra. So too, anigra, Rashi says, what's an anigra? Anigra is an irrigation ditch. Ilan shayotze mito choritz katzar ha'osu l'halach mayim l'sados. If you have a tree that's in a ditch that is made to bring water from one field to the next. So you have a tree growing out of an irrigation ditch. Okay, either way, let's not read the whole Rashi, but basically the root now comes out of the ground, meaning the root is above, let me take a step back. Maybe we should read the whole Rashi. Meaning the tree is three, the ditch itself is three tzvachim. Let's take a step back. The ditch itself is three tzvachim, and now you have a root that is above ground. So how do you view that? So Rabba will say that you view it from the ground. Right, because that's already, you view it from the ground, that's what's it called? That is where it comes from. You're judging it from the ground. Rav Sheshes will say, no, the source of the root, right, is Mikoch Isura, meaning if you go to the absolute base of the tree, that's already below three tzvachim. So if you, even though the root is coming out of the ground, meaning from your point of view, you're standing on the ground, you see a root that's coming from the ground, so that's within three tzvachim of the ground, so that's totally fine. But according to Rav Sheshes, it's more than three tzvachim away from the base of the tree, which is, again, indented into the ground because of this ditch. So therefore, since it's coming, mikach asura kasi, so then it's going to be asur. V'chein b'keren zavis, and the same thing is true about a corner. A keren zavis is a corner. What's this case? This case is where a tree is growing in a corner of, let's say, a wall. Let's say you have a fence or a wall that's built around the house, and in the middle, in the corner where two walls meet, let's say, I don't know, the north and the west wall, there is a tree. And the tree is not visible from the outside. It's only visible from the inside, meaning the walls kind of cover up the tree, but the tree is basically growing in the corner. So if you're standing outside the walls, all you see is this tree coming up from the top of the wall. Now again, what about the area that's within three tzvachim above the wall? Is that part of the tree going to be mutter? So Rabbi again would say that that's mutter because you start measuring from the top of the wall. And Rav Sheshes would say, no, you're going to look at the source. You can look at the koach, where it comes from, right? Since it's koach yisura koasi, but you're going to use the base of the tree, and that's going to be the source of your measurement. And therefore, right, obviously, what the branches or whatever it is that's above the wall is going to be usur because it's above 10 tefachim. Okay, and now the Gemara tells a story about this machlokas. Hahu dikla dehava l'abaye v'hava solig b'yipuma. There was Abaye apparently had a fancy house. He had a palm tree in his house, and it went through a puma. And yipuma is a kind of like a skylight or like a roof. Right, they translate it, yeah, that's what I have on the side of my Gemara, is a skylight. But I think that was the word in art scroll. But meaning it has like a hole in the roof, right? It has just like you have a convertible or something. So he had a convertible house, right? He had the tree going up through that, it's probably sounds really, really cool looking. But either way, also Clemente Rav Yosef, so Rabbi went to Rav Yosef to ask him if he could use the top part of the tree, meaning you had the tree, let's say the top branches extended from the house, Right? He went onto the roof. He wanted to know if he could use or make use of those branches somehow. Visharli, Rav Yosef said it was mutter. Amar Rav Acha Bar Techlifa the Sharlecha Karav Sharlecha. Ah, apparently you see that Rav Yosef paskened like Rava. So Gemara says, well, Pshita, obviously, Rav Shesh is right, he's saying that Mikol Chasuga Kasi, right, so obviously that's going to, he's the one who says it would be Yosef. So the Gemara says, no, Mal Tema Afili Rav Shesh. You might have thought that Rav Shesh here would be masking that at the top is Mutter, that we're going to start measuring from the roof, because as we've seen a couple of times already, Besa Kamanda Malidami, because sometimes we say that a house is, we view a house as if it's completely filled in. So therefore, right, and then already the top of the tree is just sticking out of the quote-unquote ground, because the ground and the house is completely filled in. So for the Shtamish, and therefore you might have thought that you could use the three Tzvachim on top of the roof, even according to Rav Sheshes. So therefore, you had to tell us that no, Rav Yosef was paskening like Rabba. Okay. Tanah, we learned in the Mishnah. Fine. So now we learn the Mishnah. Shroshav Gavoy Min Aretz Gimel Tvachim Lo Yeshav Aleihem. So the Gemara says, one second, let's see if we can figure out from our Mishnah who we hold like. Right? Our Mishnah had said, if the roots are more than three Tvachim off the ground, so you shouldn't sit on them. Hechidami, what's the case here? Idilo Hadri Kipi. If they're not going back down and going underneath three Tvachim, meaning it's just completely, the whole thing is above three Tvachim, right? The root is huge and it's above three Tvachim. So obviously, Pshita, right? Obviously, it's Aser, right? It's above three Tvachim. You don't need to tell me, right? That's we're not allowed to use a tree. Period. That's part of the tree. It's above the ground. It's not lovely. There's no reason why it'd be mutter. So alav de afagav de hadri kipi. No, it must be that the root goes up and then it goes back down. So apparently, and the Mishnah says that it's also. So apparently, that's Rav Sheshes. So it says lo. No, the olam de lo hadri kipi. Really, the root does not go back down. The ha kamash malan. What is therefore? What is the Mishnah teaching me? The afagav de tzido echad shavu la'aretz. That this root is not straight. I mean, it's not even, is what the word I'm looking for. Is that part of the root is less than three tzvachim, and in fact, it's even with the ground. But then it gets bigger, and then it gets above three tzvachim. So the Mishnah is teaching us that even that part of the root, right, if it goes above three tzvachim, right, is going to be usher. You're not even allowed to use it on that area. That if the root is above three tzvachim, right, the whole root is going to be usher to use. Torah Rabbanan. Okay, new topic. Well, similar topic, but new discussion. Tanu Rabbanan, Shoshe Ha'ilan Shegvom Min Aretz Gimel Tvachim. Right, again, if you have the root that is bigger than three Tvachim, O Sheyesh Chalav Tachteim Gimel Tvachim, or if you have a root that is more than three Tvachim off the ground, even though it's suspended in the air, right, you can imagine, let's say you have a tree that's like in a ditch, and the roots are, they're kind of wild, and you have one going out from the tree with three tzvachim from the ground in which the tree is sitting in, but now it's like even, right, it's growing into the ground that is above it, right, if you can imagine. Okay, either way, meaning you have three tzvachim of space underneath the root. So, afal pitzar, tzidu echa, shavu la'aretz, hareza lo yeshav aleihem. Oh, sorry, that's actually the exact same topic. Okay, I jumped the gun a little bit. Still talking about this topic. Right, even if there's three tzvachim of airspace underneath the root, so even though one of the roots, right, meaning where the area of the root is even with the ground, like we said, the tree's in a ditch, when the root is even with the ground that's above it, so then you still can't sit on it. Lefisha ein olam be'ilan, ve'nitlan be'ilan, ve'nishanim be'ilan, because you can't go up into a tree, and you can't hang from a tree, and you can't sleep in a tree. That's go up in the tree. So what was the other one? You can't hang from the tree. Can't go up in the tree. All right, either way. Cut it off a little bit. Velo yala be'ilan mibo'od yom. Right, you shouldn't go up into the tree when it was still on Friday. V'yeshev shav kolo yom kulo, and then spend the entire Shabbos in the tree. Right, you can't, if you have a nice house up there, a tree house, whatever, you can't do that. Right, echad ilan v'echad kol behema, whether it's a tree or whether it's an animal. Again, the gzera not to ride an animal on Shabbos is also because you may break a branch off and use it as a stick to guide the animal or hit the animal or whatever. So those things, right, you can't use the tree for any purpose, any of those purposes. Av bor siach umar av gader, but if you have a pit or a cistern or a cave or a fence, right, so then Metafes v'ola, metafes v'yored. Right, you can go up, you can go down, you can climb up, you can climb down. Regardless of how tall it is. Again, there are no trees or branches or anything that you may break off, so that's obviously not shayach to the gzera at all. Gemara says, "Ay tani chada." Didn't one brisa say, "Im ola mutar leirid"? V'tani chada aser leirid. Let's say you do go up in the tree. So we have conflicting brisas that says one of them says you're allowed to come down, and one of them says you're not allowed to come down. Then you got to stay there, right, till the end of Shabbos. So Gemara says, "Lokasha kami ben." Gemara have a bunch of reasons or a bunch of answers what the difference is between the two brisas. So the first one is, "Lokasha kami b'yom kami mishachar shecha." Right, if you went up before Shabbos started, so then it's going to be mutter. But if you went up after Shabbos started, so then we're going to make you stay in the tree, right? It's like a punishment. It's like an onesh, a knas almost, that you have to stay there. Another answer, no, both of them is when, both cases, both brises is when you went up into the tree on Shabbos. For lokasha, kam b'shoge, kam b'mesin. No, if you did a b'shoge, so then you can go back. But if you did it b'mezid, so then we're going to punish you. You're going to have to stay in the tree. You cannot leave the entire Shabbos. V'boy seima, or another way to answer that, havaha b'shogeg, that both of the brises are the case where you went up into the tree on Shabbos, but it was b'shogeg. Again, just to define shogeg again, shogeg means you didn't know it was Shabbos or you didn't know it was usher. It does not mean by accident. It does not mean you were sleepwalking. That's ones. Shogeg is you missing information, right? You either thought it was mutter or you didn't think it was Shabbos. You didn't realize it was Shabbos. So if you did b'shogeg, what's the difference between the two brises? It's simply a machlokes between the authors of the braisas, whether we're going to be gozer a case where you did a b'shogeg because that may lead to a case where you did a b'mezid. Right? Mar savar kansina, mar savar lo kansina. Right? Is there a knas? Is there a gzera that you should stay in the tree when you went up a b'shogeg because you definitely should stay in the tree when you went up the mezid? Okay, so as Rav Huna says that maybe it's actually a machlokes tanai. Amar Rav Huna brother of Yeshua ketanai. These two brisas is a machlokes tanai. Now Rav Huna's this is not the actual Rav Huna, it's a different Rav Huna, but Rav Huna brother of Yeshua's whole thing is going to be a very 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 random connection, and the Gemara is actually going to throw it out in the end. But the question is what the Havamin is bichlal. But either way, he says that maybe this whole machlokes between the two stira, between the two brises, is actually machlokes tanaim. So the case, the Mishnah that he quotes is a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Hanisnin, if I'm not mistaken, Hanisnin b'matama achas shenis arvu. Really, it should be in Zvachim. It says Rosh Hashanah over here on the side of my Gemara, right in the Mesoros Hashas. But really, it's main mukkers in Zvachim. The case is by Korbanos, right? By Korban, one of the avodas that you have to do by Korbanos is you have to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. So there are different types of sprinklings that are attributed with different types of Korbanos. For example, so we'll see in a second that some of them require four, some of them require one. Right? It depends on what exactly you're bringing. Let's say a Bechor gets one, or Korban Pesach, for example, gets one sprinkling. And the more standard Korbanos, like an Ola or whatever, or like a Shlamim, that requires four sprinklings. Again, and one on each side of the Mizbeach. So the question is like this. Hanisnin b'matana achas. Right, let's say you have blood that requires one gift, literally one, they call it a gift, but it requires one sprinkling. Then you mix it up with blood of another korban that also requires one sprinkling. So then, push it, right? Just throw both bloods on once and you're totally fine. Matandala b'matandala. Let's say you have a korban that requires four sprinklings on each side of the Mizbeach, gets mixed up with blood of a korban that requires a similar procedure. So then, again, yinasnu b'matan dalet, right? Just sprinkle four times on the Mizbeach and everything is fine. Now, here's the problem. Matan arba matan achas. Let's say now you have blood of the korban Pesach, for example, and gets mixed up with the blood of a shlamim. So now you have a problem because the korban Pesach requires only one sprinkling and the shlamim requires four. on each side of the Mizbeach. So what do you do? So, and we'll see in a second, there's a real consequence, right, in terms of what you do. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yinasnu Kamasin Dalet, you should sprinkle four times, right? Again, this mixture that has one and four together. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Yinasnu Matana Achas. Rabbi Yeshua says you should do once. So I'm low Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, Arehu over, Al Bal Tegra. Right, there's an iser. Pasuk says, "V'lo sosi v'lo velosi grami menu." Right, two isurim back to back. You're not allowed to add to the Torah, and you're not allowed to subtract. Right, we had the classic cases. You're not allowed to have five dalet minim. You're not allowed to have three dalet minim. Obviously, dalet minim is obviously that says how much there is. You can't add one. You can't add to the tefillin. You can't add. Those are the classic cases. So you can't add and you can't subtract. You can't have five and you can't have three. So the problem, as you can probably see the problem that's formulating over here, Rabbi Elazar says, if you only sprinkle once, right, so you have blood that needs four sprinklings, so now you're violating Baal Tikra. You're reducing, right? You're detracting, subtracting from a din in the Torah. I'm not really sure. Well, yeah, okay, but if you do it four times, now you still have blood that requires only one sprinkling. How are you over batosif? Now you're adding things to the Torah. Right? You can see the paradox. Rabbi Lezer said, yeah, okay, but lo amru elakashu ba'atzmo. Rabbi Lezer said that you only have an issue of batosif when it's by itself, but it's together mixed with the blood that it requires four sprinklings. So then it's okay because you needed to sprinkle it four times for that blood. I'm not Rabbi Yishua, though never Baal Tigra, I like Shuv Ba'atzmo. It's okay. So Rabbi Yishua says back to him, same thing for Baal Tigra, right? That's why I say it's not a problem. The Ode, and also I'm Rabbi Yishua says Kishen Asata Avarta Al Baal Tosif. When you give the actual what's it called? When you do the sprinkling. Right, when you do the actual sprinkling, so then you did something, right? You violated Baal Tosif, v'asisa maisa b'yadecha, right? You did an action, meaning you've sprinkled four times, which is three times too many. But kishalona sata, if you only sprinkle once, meaning you didn't do the four times, you only did one, then avarta al Baal Tigra, but v'loasisa maisa b'yadecha. Rabbi Yeshua says there's a very big difference between Baal Tigra and Baal Tosif. To do Baal Tosif, that's a kumbase. You're doing an action. Kumbase means you're going above and beyond and you're doing an extra action. Baal Tigra is you're sitting back. You're only doing one sprinkling. You're avoiding sprinkling three more times. Whenever faced with an option, whether to violate an Isser through an action or an inaction, it's always better to do it with an inaction. Right? It's much worse to openly and actively violate an Isser than to just sit back and not do anything and thereby violate some sort of halacha. So that's what Mishua says. Right? By Baal Tigra, it's b'shev altasa, right? And that's it's much better to violate b'shev altasa than b'kum v'asei. Rabbi Elazar would say, "Damar hasam kum v'asei adif." So now the Gemara compares the two cases, meaning by Rabbi Elazar who says it's better to do the kum v'asei. It's better to straight up sprinkle four times. So here, Hachanami Yirid, here he would say it's better for you to go down. You're in a tree on Shabbos. If you stay the rest of Shabbos, you're going to be violating Yisurim every minute. Right? You're not allowed to be in a tree. You're not allowed to use a tree. Yisur Jerabanan, Ishtam Shus Be'ilam. So it's better for you to be Kum Vaseh. It's better for you to go down and do an action and get yourself out of the tree. But the Rabbi Yeshua, the Amar Hasam, Shev Al Tasa Adif, according to Rabbi Yeshua, says that you should just sit back and do nothing, but it's better to refrain from doing an active iser. Right, again, when you climb down the tree, you're using the tree, that's an active iser. So chenami lo yirid. So too over here, you shouldn't go down. And obviously, I mean, you could probably start firing questions at me in terms of the havamina to compare the two cases. But the Gemara right away says dilma lohi. Maybe it's not really a great comparison between this machlokas and that machlokas. So because ad kama lo kama rabbi lozer hasan. Kumba say adif. Why does Rabbi Elazar say in the case of the sprinkling that it's better to sprinkle the four sprinklings, right? To bekumba say, aren't you violating Baal Tosif with an action? Bekumba say said because el dekavin mitzvah. Because over there, what are you doing? You're doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to sprinkle the blood of the shlomim four times. So you're doing a mitzvah. So therefore, you should do the mitzvah. Avalach, but over here, what are you doing? You have a problem either way. You're either stuck in a tree, or you should go down. Both of them are, you know, your stamps but Elon, yes, quantitatively, maybe you'll be in the tree for longer periods of time. Maybe Rabbi Elazar would never tell you to violate an Isser actively by climbing down the tree, right? The law of a mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah involved here. There's no mitzvah to come out of the tree. So faced with two possibilities, how to violate an Isser, maybe Rabbi Elazar would agree that you should be shaved al tasa and just stay in the tree. So chanami lo yirid, so therefore here you shouldn't go down. Vinami, and another also, maybe for Rabbi Yoshua. I can lo kamar Rabbi Yoshua hasam shaved al tasa. Why does Rabbi Yoshua say it's better to not do anything by the case of the sprinkling, to loka of isura, because you're not doing an isura straight up. Right? Rashi says that shu yosef eino nosin, right, when you're sitting and not sprinkling the blood, so it's just the mitzvah, the halakhas are just uprooted over there. But what are you doing? Meaning, when you're shave al tasa, you don't sprinkle the blood, so you're totally abstaining from what's going on. But aval hacha, but over here, back in the Gemara, the ka'avid isura, hachin amid the yared. What happens if you stay in the tree? What, you're not using the tree right now? With the shaved al tasa, just sit back, don't do anything? There's no hishtamshus by ilan, right? You're sitting on the branch, hanging out there, 20 feet off the ground? No, you're still using the tree. So maybe he would say that, no, get out of there, because either way, you're using the tree. So you might as well go. Right? You might as well just get out of the tree and go down. So that's not necessarily our machlokas. At all. So Gemara is, okay. So the Gemara says now another stira in Brises. Tani Chada, one Brises tells us, Echad Ilan Lach, Echad Ilan Yavesh, that this whole halacha of Ishtamshus Be'ilan, that not using a tree, regardless of whether the tree is wet or dry, and Rashi says, Yavesh Eilo Lichluch V'lav Mechubaru, that's an important point, meaning when the tree is dried out, it's not considered connected to the ground, and therefore you have no Isser of Kotzer. Kotzer is reaping, is taking something out of the ground, and that's the point here. So one Brisa says, but regardless of whether it's dry or wet, you're still not allowed to use the tree on Shabbos. Petani idach, another Brisa says no. If it's dried out, it's not connected to the ground. There's no Isser of Kotzer, then you can use the tree whatever you want. So Rabbi Yehuda, again, a couple ways to understand. Rabbi Yehuda, lokasha kan b'shegizo machlif, kan b'shein gizo machlif. It depends on whether the gizo, the trunk, is able to grow another tree. Right? If the tree is dry, right? Again, when the Brisa says mutter to use a dry tree, that means the tree is completely dead; it's not growing again. But if it's dry but will grow again, again, I don't know how you determine that, but I guess they knew. So then it would be usher, because again, that's still considered, that's connected to the ground somewhat. It will still use the soil and grow another tree. Gezo machlif yavish. Why says one second? Gezo machlif yavish karstay. Well, if a tree is going to grow itself again, right, that's not dry. Right, that's not dried out. It's not dead. So el lokashas, the Gemara tries again. Kam bimos hachama, kam bimos hagishanim. So really, no. When are we telling me it's mutter to use a tree that's dried out? So that's in the summer, and when you're not allowed to use it, that's in the winter, because the Rashi says over here that the winter, you can't tell the difference. During the winter, you can't tell the difference between trees. So you would almost look like you're using the tree, meaning for sure a wet tree is usher, and even if you used a dry tree in the winter, you can't tell the difference because there are no leaves, etc., etc. So people might think that you were doing an Isra. They might wrongly think that it's mutter to use even a wet tree, quote-unquote, a live tree. But in the summer, apparently you can tell the difference between a dead tree and a non-dead tree, right? Because there's leaves on the trees that are alive, and the ones that are dead have no leaves. So therefore, right, no one's going to be concerned, and they're not going to think that it's mutter to use a tree that's alive in the summer. Kamai says, I be mosa shachama. What do you mean? You can use a tree that's dead during the summer? A honey tree peri, where the fruit's going to, well, I guess dry is better than dead, because the Gemara suggests that maybe the fruit will come off. So Gemara, and that's also, kotzer and taking fruit on Shabbos also also. So Gemara says, no, but like a peri. No, the case is where the tree is dead. There's no tree. There's no fruit. I have a honey tree you can't see, but you'll knock off some branches. People might think that you're allowed to take branches on Shabbos. So begedura, there are no branches. Any I, what a Rav Ikla la Pastia, also Bigidu. Didn't Rav Paskin in the city of Apastia that a tree without branches was still usher. This guy says, yeah, Rav bika matzav agadar bagadar. That Rav literally means he found a valley and he made a fence. Basically he was being extra machmir. For whatever reason, he felt that it was important to rule to be machmir there. Maybe people weren't being so careful about Hilchos Shabbos. So Rav paskin l'chumra, but l'maisa, that's not actual halacha. Okay. We're going to get to some gadata here, some interesting gadata. Well, I guess first, that's next, right? Sorry, because it's based on this pasuk. So either way, Amar Rabbi Bar Cham Bar Abba Amar Rav Asi. Also, l'adam sheyalech agabe asavim b'Shabbos. A person can't walk on grass on Shabbos. Before you go crazy, right? We'll see in a second. Shneva, the pasuk says ve'atz baragla v'chote. If you, I'm not sure. I forget what the translation of atz is, and I don't have it written down here. But again, if you're walking or doing something inappropriate with your feet, then you're a sinner. Okay. Tanichada, one brisa taught, mutter lelech agave asav b'Shabbos. Okay, so apparently we have a brisa that says it's mutter. V'tani idach aser, another brisa says, probably, I guess, you know, backing up Rami Bar Abba, but another brisa says that it's aser. So the one says, lo kasher kam v'lechem kam v'vashem. So one brisa says that, no, it's if it's wet, so then it's aser, but if it's dry, so then it is mutter. Again, if it's totally dead, right, then even if you uproot the grass that's completely dead, so then that's not the melech of kosher of kotzer. V by same, another way to answer, haba malachin, that both the cases the grasses are wet. Lokasha kan be mos hachama, kan be mos hagasham. It depends on if it's summer or it's winter. Right? If it's summer, so then here interesting, Rashi says that it's an issue of the seeds. That there are gonna be seeds in the summer and people are planting. Where's that Rashi? The Rashi's here a little bit hard. Let's see. I forget already. Right, Bimosa Chama, there it is. Zera Yesh Begiv Olin Umashira. Maybe you're going to uproot the seeds from the ground if you're walking in the summer, but in the winter there are no seeds, so that would be Mutter. Okay. Bibayis Ema, or another way to answer, Haba Haba Bimosa Chama, both of them we're talking about in the summer, Velo Kasha, but there's no steer between the prices. Had the sayim b'masane, had the low sayim b'masane. Depends on if you're wearing shoes. So again, I would have thought that the shoes have a greater chance to uproot the grass. But Rashi says over here, where's again the Rashi's are a little out of order, I think. Right. Also, shasat. Right. Rashi says sayim b'masane if you're wearing shoes. Maybe they're not out of order. All right, either way, if you're wearing shoes, shari, then it's mutter. But lo siyam esani, but if you're not wearing shoes, it's aser. Why? Shasav nidvakim bekishrei es beosaf. Because you'll pull out grass with your toes. Okay, fine. Apparently, Rashi never had our shoes that are kind of like intense that might rip. Oh, whatever. We'll see in a second that there are even shoes that are even more intense that might rip out grass. V-boy same, another way to answer is that if hav the sign masane, then both the cases are where you're wearing shoes. For lokasha, hav the slay ukte, hav the less slay ukte. If you're wearing cleats, then you definitely will rip out the grass, or I guess for the ladies, if you're wearing heels. But if you don't have cleats, so then right, your shoes are flat, they're not going to rip out the grass, and that'll be totally fine. V-boy same, or another answer, hav the slay ukte, both cases. Or whether are the cases where you have spikes on you have on oketz is a thorn, but okay, either way you have cleats. And behind the isle sharva or srach or strach, I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Either way, the cases strach is long grass. Behind the lesle strach, I mean it's simply the grass is long, and obviously more likely to pull out grass. If it is longer than if it's much shorter. And the Gemara says, maybe if you've been wondering the whole time, but this is a classic case of Dover Shein of Iskavin. And so, Revaidin, the Kaim Lam Karabi Shimon, now that we possibly like Rabbi Shimon, that Dover Shein of Iskavin is Mutter, Takulu Shari, all of them are Mutter. You may ask me, because if you're remembering well from Sefer Shabbos, Doesn't Rabbi Shimon agree that in a case where it's a psik reisha, it's definitely going to happen that it will be asur, even though Darvish and Uskavin is usually mutter? So in a chanami, that it has to be a case where it's not a psik reisha, right? For example, like I'm not sure. Again, however you construct the case, right? Okay, you have to make sure that it's not something that will definitely happen when you walk on this grass with even your cleats or whatever, if you're for some reason wearing cleats on Shabbos. Okay. Now we get to the fairly interesting agaritas. Again, I always say this when we have some agaritas that talk about some quote-unquote touchy subjects, that Gemara is not abashed, it's not embarrassed to talk about things that we might be, let's say, you know, uncomfortable talking about, because this is Torah, this is the world that Kosh Baruch Hu created, this is life, and the Torah impacts every single aspect of life. And it talks about, just like it talks about Hilchos Shabbos, it talks about something over here, as we'll see in a second, right, the intimate matters between man and woman, and doesn't blink an eye, because, you know, that's, the Kodesh Baruch Hu created this world, and that's the world we live in, and we need to know how to act in literally every single walk of life, and every single scenario we find ourselves. So, therefore, with that little introduction, V'amar Rabbi Bar Chama, Amar Ravasi. Also, Adam Shiyakov Ishto Ledvar Mitzvah. It's also for a man to force his wife to have beer with him. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, V'asparaglayim chote. Someone who is with, you know, is acts inappropriately with his legs, he is a sinner. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Kofa Ishto Ledvar Mitzvah. Someone who forces his wife to have beer with him. So then, Havian Lo Banim Shenum Hu Ganim. Right, the children from that union will not turn out so great. Amrav Ika Bar Chinina, Mikra, how do you know? What's the pasuk? The Gam below Das Nefesh Lotov, right? If the person does not below Das without intent, Nefesh Lotov, he has a soul that's not good. If something that the wife is not interested in, then what's going to happen is that you have a neshama, a soul that's rachmal, it's not so good. Tani Navi Hachi, also learned in a brisa, Gam below Das Nefesh Lotov. What does that mean? That's Zeh Kove, it's not what it means, but what does that refer to? Zeh Kove Ishto Lotvar Mitzvah, this is someone who forces his wife to sleep with him. Someone who sins with his legs. Zehabol v'shona, this is someone who has beer with his wife and then has it again. Meaning that, and that's inappropriate. Gemara says, is that really true? V'amar Rava, didn't Rava say, Harut Halasos kol banav zecharin yivol v'yishna? Someone who wants to have male kids, so he should sleep with his wife and then do it again. The Gemara says, Lokasha, no, kan l'das, kan shalom l'das. Yeah, in a chinami, that if the wife is okay with that, so then that's already a positive situation. But if she's not okay with that, so then already, then we're talking about the whole psukim with the sinning and the children that are no good, etc., etc. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol isha shetovas bala dvar mitzvah, havin la bonim shafilu bedoro shel Moshe lo hayu kamosan. If a woman asks her husband to sleep with her, to be with her, so then she'll have children that even did not live during the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, they'll have children that are even greater than whoever lived in Moshe's generation. Dilu b'dor shel Moshe k'siv, because during Moshe, during the generation of the Midbar, it says, Havu lachem anashim chachamim u'nevonim viduim l'shiftechem. Right? Yisro tells Moshe to bring judges who are chachamim, smart, nevonim, understanding, yiduim, they're known to everybody. And the k'siv in the pasuk says, V'akach es roshei shiftechem anashim chachamim viduim. But what's missing? Right, if you're the nevonim l'meshkach, right? Moshe apparently finds some very well smart and known men to everybody. We couldn't find nevonim, people who had a bina, someone who had an understanding. Not sure exactly what the difference is between bina and what's it called and chacham. Probably should look in a parish on tefillah, right? We doubt in ata chonin l'das lenos bina. Okay, tzarachin, I should probably chazer what that means. But either way, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find nevonim, people who were understanding. V'ilu gabi le'aksiv, what does it say by the pasuk of Leah? Right, v'atet se Leah l'korso v'tomer elay tavo kishchor secharticha. Over the whole episode of Reuven's Dudaim, Rachel asked for the Dudaim. Leah said, no thank you. And Rachel said, fine, so you could be with you tonight instead of me. And Leah walked out to Yaakov and said, listen, I sold my son's flowers for the chance to be with you tonight. And after that, right, the Pasuk says that Yisachar resulted in that union. And the Pasuk says, not about Yisachar, but about his children. And we bnei Yisachar yodei bina leitim ladas ma yasa Yisrael roshem masayim kolachem va'alpiyam. Right, you see that Yisachar's children had bina. Right, so you see that it's an appropriate thing that a woman asks for her husband to sleep with her, so then they will have children who are even greater than the generation that Moshe lived in. The Gemara says, notice it doesn't say as great as Moshe. Right, Moshe was looking for those people. Right, Mestama, Moshe had all of those characters, but again, in terms of the people of the generation, so they'll be greater. Any, is that really true? V'amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Eser Klolot Neskal V'Chava. One second, is it really appropriate for a woman to ask her husband to be with her? There were 10 curses that Chava got. If you look at the Psukim of Bereishis, which we're going to quote in a second, there were 10 things that Chava was cursed with. As the pasuk says, Elisha Amar to Chava, he said, "What did Hashem say? Harba arbe, right? Itzvonech veharonech, meaning Hashem will cause to increase. Elu shnei tipei damim, right? Harba and arbe is two. Achas dam nida, achas dam besulim, right? The blood of nida and blood of the besulim, right? Again, it's the first bia that a woman has is it's probably painful, and there's blood that results. So that was one curse. Itzvonech, what is the pain? That's tzar gidol banim. That's the raising children, right? Baruch Hashem, anybody who knows, right? Not always so easy. Veheronech, what about being pregnant? So that's Sarah Ha'ibor. Again, that's pain of being pregnant. Ve'etzev taldivanim, right? When you give birth, obviously, kamashmo, right? That hurts. Childbirth itself hurts. Aveli sheikh teshuka seikh, and you will long for your husband. Malamit sha'isha mishtokekes al bala, that a woman desires for her husband b'sha sheyotze l'derech, whenever he leaves, for whatever reason, that causes some an extra desire. Obviously, he's not around, so that's painful. V'hu yim shalbach, and he will, literally means he will rule you. But malamit sheisha tovas balev, vaish tove bepet, that a woman, it's appropriate, and this is the point what we're trying to bring, that it's appropriate for a woman to kind of ask for bia in her heart, not out loud, but a man is allowed to say it out loud, to say it with his mouth, meaning to ask straight up. And zu mida tove benashim, and this is already, it's appropriate that women are tsanua, right? Kvod bas melech penima, that a woman should kind of keep these things not necessarily to herself, but we'll see in a second that you don't have to keep it completely to herself. But meaning it's appropriate that a woman should keep it to herself and not say, right? We just said that a woman should ask her husband for bia and it'll result with great children. And here we're telling that it's not appropriate for her to say it straight out. So Gemara says, yeah, ki kamina demarate artsuye kame. Right? So enochanami. So she shouldn't say it straight out, like blatantly. But she should do things that would indicate that that's what she was interested in doing. Okay, so in that case, that's how it would be appropriate and then result in great children. Okay, so Gemara says, by the way, you said that there were 10 curses and havashiva havyan, right? You just quoted 7 of them. So right, we can count. What's the other 3? So Kieser of Dimi, Amar of Dimi, when he came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, so then he said there are 3 of them. Atufa ka'avel, amenudag mikol adam, v'chavusha besasurim. That a woman is atuf, she wraps herself like someone who is mourning, right? Because she covers her head. And similarly, the mourner also kind of, there's something called a tifas rosh, which you don't really do nowadays. But okay, that's that they would kind of wrap their heads with like a, almost like a kafia, like the Arabs do. We don't do that so much. But anyway, a woman covers her hair. Umenud mikol adam, she's cut off from all other men. As we'll see in a second what that means, and she is in jail. What does that mean? So Rashi says over here that there's a din called of yichud, obviously that's referring to yichud, that a person is not allowed to what's it called? She's not allowed to be secluded with a person. Right, again, just minud mikolad, just to clarify, means she's not allowed to marry any other men aside from her husband, right? Men are allowed to marry, technically, are allowed to marry more than one wife. Obviously nowadays the Chayim, the Berenu Gershon, etc., even though maybe it expired, but it was extended. Okay, either way, obviously we don't do that anymore, but right, a woman is halakhically not allowed to marry more than one man. So Gemara says, jumped the gun a little bit. My menu demikaladam, what does it mean? She's excommunicated from men. If you tell me, because it's asr because of yichud, right? That's the whole point of yichud. Right? Men can't be in yichud either. So Ella de asir lebetray, right? Because she's asr to marry two, even though a man can marry two wives. Okay. Excuse me. I guess we'll go to the bottom because they have two dots over there. Where it really does really end the whole thing. Okay, either way. Masnisa Tana, we learned in a brisa, Megadela Ser Kalilus, a woman, meaning there's other things that that are curses for women. She has to grow her hair long, like Lilus. Lilus, according to, I guess, I'm not sure if it's a Gemara or it's a Medrash or whatever, but it was almost Adam's first wife. Maybe she's a demon, maybe she's not. Okay, either way, it's not a positive thing to be compared to Lilus. Vyoshevus Mishtana Mayim Kibahema, she urinates like an animal, as we'll see in a second. The female, I forget if it's donkey or mule or horse or whatever it is, we'll see in a second. Where it urinates kind of like sitting down like that. Vanasi is Kar Kabbalah, and she is like, literally means like a pillow for her husband, but then as Rashi says, that references that the appropriate position for Bia is when the man is on top and the woman is on the bottom. It's almost like, a little bit crude to say, but like she's like a pillow. And the Gemara is going to say, "Ivi idach honey shevachulo." And the reason that Rav Dimi didn't include these three is because, as you see, that's not negative. Those three are not necessarily negative. They're not necessarily bad. Damar Rav Chia, my dechtiv, because what does it mean when the pasuk says, "Mil lefanenu mi behemos eretz umei of hashemayim yichak menu"? You can become smart through the birds. And you can learn derech eretz from the animals. So mifaninu mi behemos, what does that mean? Zu preda. That's referring to a female, again, I think it's donkey. Shekoras umishtanis mayim, who sits and urinates. Again, that's tsnius. That's a kind of a more kind of tsanua way to go to the bathroom. Umeyof hashamayim yichakemo. You can become smart for the birds. Ze tarnagol shemefayes ve'achakach boal. This is talks about a chicken. I'm not sure how this works, but it, as the Gemara is going to explain it, but I still don't really understand, that it literally, lefayes means to appease or to make someone more comfortable and with words, but it appeases its mate, and then, only then does it have beer with it, does it mate with the female. Okay. Am Rabbi Yochan, Yilmala, the Torah, Hainu, Lamaitin, and similarly, I mean, if we had not been given the Torah, Rachman al Tzlan, so we could have learned several things from animals. We would learn tsnius mechatul. You'd learn tsnius from a cat. A cat, as Rashi says over here, it goes to the bathroom away from people and then covers it up. If anybody who has cats will know, they always cover things up, right? Litter box. Vigezel minamola. We would learn not to steal from an ant. And again, Rashi says an ant spends all summer storing things. What it is storing, what it needs in the winter. Apparently, it's a thing that ants do not steal from each other. Arayos meyona, we would learn not to commit adultery from a dove. Apparently, doves are fiercely loyal and they do not mate with mates that are not their own. Derech eretz mitarnagol, we would learn the right, appropriate way to have bia from a chicken. Shemefayis v'achar kach boal, which again, it literally appeases. I'm not even sure how this works, even though the Gemara is going to describe it, and then only then mates with the female. U'may mefayis lei, how does it do this? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, hachi kamar la. This is what the chicken says, I think. I assume it's Hachi Karmala. This is what it says to her. I assume it's the chicken's talking to the female. Zvinna lechziga, I will buy you a coat. Dematu lich ad karich, that will go down all the way to the ground onto your feet. And levasar Hachi Amarla, and after they mate, so then he says, lishmate lekarbalte dahu tarnagola I isle velo zvinnalach. Right, may the crest of the chicken, meaning talking about himself, be cut off. Right, if I'm able to buy you a coat and I don't, meaning he kind of like meaning he doesn't have it. Right, meaning where am I going to get you a coat? So Rashi says meaning that he kind of like he bows his head. Right, minanei av kofef rosha la'aretz. Okay, I'm not sure exactly. Apparently they were able to discern, right, the appropriate way to have bia, to first appease the partner and then have bia afterwards. Apparently you learned that from a chicken. Okay, I apologize for not being more articulate about that, but I'm really not sure exactly what the Gemara means. Okay, have a great day or night, Rabosi, depending on where you are listening to this. Very exciting, almost done with the Heilige Maseches Erevin and on to Pesachim.